This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning. It's Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be with you. We continue again today with the great New Testament conversions. Last time we spoke about Cornelius, the centurion who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we see a woman by the name of Lydia of Thyatira. Lydia of Thyatira, found in Acts chapter 16, and I want to read verses 1 to 15. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in night from Macedonia, calling them to come over into Macedonia, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight course to Samothrace, and next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the former city of part of Macedonia, a colony, and were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside. We prayed, was customary to made, and we sat down and spoke to women who were we met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And so she persuaded us. Now, what an interesting story this is, the story of Lydia of Thyatira. The story of Lydia's conversion is contained in two verses only, verses 14 and 15 of Acts chapter 16. Because it says here, we've just read it together this morning, it says, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she had heard, her household were baptized, and she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And so she persuaded us." It is told with simplicity. And there is a sublime beauty about the story. Paul evidently felt just as happy in ministering to a few God-fearing women as to a great crowd in the synagogue. In all probability, there would have been no synagogue in Philippi because it was a Gentile city. So here by the riverside at Philippi, these women met for prayer at regular times. Paul recognized a God-given opportunity for preaching the gospel to them. And one of these women who met for prayer was Lydia, and of her we read, "Whose heart the Lord opened." You got that? The heart the Lord opened. When the jailer was converted, there was an earthquake. Do you remember that? The Philippian jailer, there was an earthquake. When Lydia came to know the Lord, it was a silent, unemotional movement of the Holy Spirit in her heart. God works very differently with different kinds of people. He understands our background. He understands our temperament. And He knows just how to meet our deep need and the way to approach us in our need. Some people are suddenly converted. Others come gradually. Some come publicly, some privately, some come with great emotion, others without much emotion. The important thing is to know that we have been converted, even if we do not remember the time or the place or the date when the great transaction took place. Let me say this to you this morning. Are you trusting the Lord Jesus now and able to say now, in the words that we read here from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And these are the words we read here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day. You got it? He says, I know in whom I have believed, and I know that He's able to keep me. That's what He's saying. I know He's able to keep me until that day. And I'm saying to you this morning, has the Lord opened your heart and entered in? We read again. We need to hear these words from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians tells us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. These are the words that we read in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? What's he saying? He says we need to know. We need to know. It doesn't matter if you can't remember that, but you know that you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Number one, though Lydia was a very obscure and humble woman, it was through her opened heart that God was able to be preached in Europe. Do you know that? She was a native of Thyatira. She was a citizen of that place, a seller of purple. She was a businesswoman, but her name would not have hit the headlines in Holy Scripture had it not been for God's gracious dealings with her in her life. God's gracious dealings with her in her life. Now, I want us to read again. And this time I want us to read from 1 Corinthians. And this is what it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We read again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we read from verse 26. For you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, that the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory. You get it? In His presence. Isn't that wonderful? Nobody should glory in His presence. God delights to choose ordinary people to use them for His glory. The significant thing for us to notice here is when God wanted to enter in a new continent so that multitudes of people in the continent might hear the gospel and come to salvation, He chose Lydia as the channel through whom He would work. Just as Carey, when he wanted the message of the gospel to go to India, Carey took the gospel message to India. Livingstone, when he wanted to demonstrate his power in Africa, he used David Livingstone. Lydia's opened heart was the vantage ground for a forward movement of the gospel in Europe. Think what God can do through one life when he gains complete control of it. Think what God can do through your life if it's fully yielded to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lydia was a worshiper of God before the Lord Jesus entered her heart. We are told that she was at the prayer meeting. Do you remember? She was obviously quite sincere in her religious observance, but she had never, ever been born again. What did the Bible say? Jesus said to Nicodemus, "I tell you, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." She had not been saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, through in her heart. Had not yet been opened to welcome the Savior into her life. For as many as received him, John 1:11-12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and the daughters, to whoever believes on his name." She hadn't done that yet. How many people there are just like this? And they are described to us. They describe to us in 2 Timothy. This is what 2 Timothy tells us about it. And we read these words in 2 Timothy. I want to read from chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such turn away." We can have a form of godliness, but it's not the real thing. We need to hear that. And people are sincere and they regularly attend church, but they're not Christians. "For the one thing that makes a man or a woman a Christian is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart and in their life." Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If you'll open the door," he doesn't, you must. "If you open the door, I will come in." It is not enough to believe in God. We must believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as well. John 14 and verse 1 tells us this. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. He believing God, believe also in me. Believing God, believe also in his Son, the Lord Jesus. Is it possible that your faith is in vain?" That's what we are told. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us that our faith can be in vain. And we read here from 1 Corinthians. And I want us to just see this for a moment this morning. 1 Corinthians, and I want to read there that you and I will get understanding from it. 1 Corinthians 15. This is what it says to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are told this, 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 and 2. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." What's he saying? He says, we must not believe in vain at all. No, my friends, we must trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith must be centered in him. Number three, Lydia listened to the gospel and the Lord saved us. Here's the illustration of what we've been talking about. When we read Romans 10 verse 17, it says, "And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's not only talking about faith coming through the reading of the Bible, but when your faith is in the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The word became flesh. In action, Lydia heard the message of the gospel about Jesus, and she listened, and faith became operative in her heart. This is the very way God works in his sovereign in salvation of a soul. And when we are told that Lydia attended the words that Paul spoke, it means that she gave her full attention to the presentation of the gospel. She heard him declare the truth of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 1:6, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone, what? Who believes. She heard about the person, the work of Christ, and his death on Calvary's cross. And she listened and her heart was open to the Lord Jesus to enter in. It was not only her mind which was open, but her heart was opened as well. And because the Bible tells us something very clear that we need to hear again and again. Romans chapter 10. And this is what we are told in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There we are told that very, very clearly. So you confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart. That's what you need. The new covenant is all about that. The new covenant of Jesus. You believe in the Lord Jesus. You believe that he died for all your sins. You believe in what he did on Calvary's cross for your salvation. So she not only believed about the Lord Jesus and his power to save her, but she received him and trusted him as her savior. Number 4, Lydia lost no time in confessing her Lord. We are told that she was baptized and all the members of her household were baptized as well. And so here again, we have the scripture order. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized. Receive him as Savior. Confess him openly as Lord. The gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness. That's what it says. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and now I'm with you even to the end of the age. Here is God's ordained method of confessing openly that we have trusted Christ as our Savior. What a wonderful service it must have been when Lydia was baptized, her public baptism, which might have taken place in the river, just near to the spot where she was converted, but must have been a testimony to many people who knew her. She was a lady and a business lady. Number 5, Lydia's testimony was blessed to those in her own home. She was not the only one to be baptized. The members of her household were baptized also, which means, of course, that they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts and opened and received him as Savior, and thus they confessed him openly by baptism. In Psalm 68, verse 6, we read, God setteth the solitary in families. People are in the household. What does this mean? Lydia is an example of the statement. God saved Lydia, and through her the members of her household came to know the Lord Jesus. This is his plan and intention in saving you, that through you, those who you are loved by you and that know you should hear and receive the gospel through you. They can see your life has been changed because you met Jesus Christ. Number 6, Lydia's faith showed itself in good works. She was not saved by good works because no one is saved by good works, as it's made perfectly clear in Romans 3:20. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all missed the mark. In Ephesians 2, it tells us in verse 8, we are saved through faith, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is true, however, that faith without works is dead. And where there is true faith, there will be works of demonstrate the reality of that faith. Lydia's opening her home was evidence of the opening of her heart. Do you remember? Who also opened his home? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. His name means pure, innocent. You know what? He met Jesus. He encountered Jesus. He came down from the tree. And Jesus spoke into his life. And when he came out, he had been born again. And he said, oh Lord, when I've robbed people, I've done anything wrong, half my stuff I give back to the poor again. If I've done wrong, I'll pay it back. It was the evidence of his conversion. The jailer in Philippians 9:18, those that had been beaten, he bound their wounds. It was evidence of his conversion. And here we read again, and we are told this in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 tells us this very, very clearly in verse 33. We read Acts 16, verse 33, and this is what it says to us. And he took them, the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. That's what he did. He washed their stripes, the Philippian jailer. And then we want to also see it in what the words of 1 John 3:14 tell us. 1 John 3:14 tell us something very plainly. 1 John 3:14. Listen to what it says. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. You love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. What a statement. What a statement. But here we see Lydia's faith. She opened her home. It was evidence of an open heart. Zacchaeus, open heart. Lord, come to my house. His life changed. The Philippian jailer, he cared for the people. We see that. He bound their wounds. You see, it tells us here in 1 John 3, verse 14, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. What a statement. And then lastly, Lydia's one desire was to be faithful to her Lord. It's stated very clearly when we read the account. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us. She longed to be true to the one who had done so much for her. Is this our consuming desire? Just to be faithful to him at all costs. We want to be faithful to the Christ who loved us and the Christ who saved us on the cross of Calvary. And you know what? When the love of God gets hold of your heart, I want to tell you, people will see something different in your life. We read these words from Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some people into prison. But he says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. What is the promise? Be faithful unto death. Love God. Serve God every day of your life. But you know, my friends, we don't do it because we want a reward. We do it because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives have been touched because of Calvary. And because of Calvary, we love Jesus. And because we love Jesus, we want others to meet Jesus. And our lives are changed by Jesus Christ. Jesus needs to be at the center of everything. I want to ask you this morning, like Lydia, maybe you're a lady I'm speaking to this morning. Maybe you're a business lady this morning. Lydia made such an impact. She opened Europe. And if your life is touched by Jesus this morning, what can you do to open up your business and what you're doing for the kingdom of God, that many people might be blessed through what you are doing today? And I want to speak to ladies, I want to speak to men, I want to speak to young people, boys and girls. If you do not know Jesus Christ as the Savior, won't you ask Jesus to come into your heart this morning? If you believe in him and what he's done for you on Calvary's cross, won't you open your hearts to him and say, Lord Jesus, I need you today. I need you to come in. I need to bring change into my life, that I will love you, serve you, and live for you day by day. Not, I can't do it by myself. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I realize my great need of you. Thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary, paying the price for all my sin, past, present, future. I accept you as my Savior. I invite you to come into my heart, into my life, to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. When I receive you, you become present possession in my life. I want to love you, serve you for the rest of my life. Help me to do this by the power of your Spirit. I pray it in Jesus' name. The Bible says, if you've done that, you've been born again. Welcome to the family of God this morning. May God bless you. May God lead you. May God guide you by his Holy Spirit. If you need somebody to help you, pray with you, counsel you further, you can phone Radio Cape Pulpit 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744. You can contact me personally, Pastor Brian, between Mondays and Thursdays at my church office. And the number is 021 552-4096, 021-552-4096, Mondays to Thursdays between 9 and 12 noon. God love you today, and I pray today you'll tell somebody else that you've encountered Jesus Christ this morning. God bless you, God love you, God keep you. In Jesus' name, be blessed today. I thank you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.